welcome to Self-Care is Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, I shared with you my favorite Self-Care is Sexy hack, the art of list making. And that was a fun episode for me to share because, you know, I got to nerd out all over list making and, of course, how it makes self-care easier to fit into your life. I gave you guys some list-making techniques, a few examples. I even created a list of why I love lists. And of course, I introduced to you my all-time favorite self-care is sexy tool, my passion planner. You have got to get one of these things. If you missed that episode, you can always find them on my website or via iTunes, SoundCloud, or Spotify. Okay, I want to give you guys a quick preview of what to expect today. We are celebrating the big 2-0 here at Self-Care is Sexy, episode number 20, and I have a mega treat for you guys. I'm introducing to you Miss Trish Blackwell from Confidence on the Go. You can catch her weekly show every Tuesday, and all the links to her site and stuff, it'll be on my website. She's the inspiration, basically, behind why I even started this podcast in the first place. And I get to share with you some of these great positivity resources that she has to share. It's a very big deal for me. I've been listening to Trisha's show and just loving her books and utilizing all of her amazing resources for over 2 years now. I'm so honored she's joining us. Before I get to the interview, though, a few quick housekeeping notes. First of all, I want to let you guys know we've got an app coming out very soon that you can use to store all your different self-care ideas, set reminders, and even help to identify maybe some of the areas that you might need a little more self-care in. Also want to let you know, coming up, we are going to have our passports. Our Self-Care is Sexy passports are coming out. It's a really fun DIY project. You're going to be able to print them off and use them at will and then trade them in for some fun Self-Care is Sexy swag. So stay tuned for that. Also, on our housekeeping notes, want to let you guys know next week in July, make sure you like us on Facebook or send me an email. I'm hosting the Self-Care is Sexy brunch. It's an in-person meeting where we're going to be talking about self-care, what works, what doesn't, and just checking in with one another. Lastly, I would really appreciate it if you go out and rate this show on iTunes. It means a lot to me. It takes a few minutes, but iTunes needs these ratings to rank the show. So help a sister out, take a few minutes, rate the show on iTunes. Okay, guys, housekeeping's all out of the way, so now I'm excited to share with you this interview. Real quick, I want to read Trisha's bio so you can get the full picture of how awesome sauce she is. So it goes, Trish Blackwell is a recognized fitness professional committed to inspiring others to live with more confidence, health, and happiness from the inside out. Particularly passionate about bringing hope to those who struggle with negative body image, eating disorders, or confidence issues, Blackwell has become a leader on image issues in the fitness industry. Personal trainer, author, podcaster, app publisher, Trish has done it all. She inspires her community to conquer life with confidence. Blackwell is the author of The Skinny Sexy Mind, The Ultimate French Secret. It's a book on transforming one's body and life through discovering the keys to confidence. Also available is her Amazon best-selling Kindle ebook, Building a Better Body Image, 50 Days to Loving Your Body from the Inside Out. It's a 50-day journey to living healthier and happier. Trish spends her free time running around, surfing, and snowboarding with her husband, Brandon, and their new babe girl, Ellie. She loves unicorns, coffees, and the color pink. Great bio, Trish. Okay. One quick note before I do get started, Trish took time out of her vacation to do this interview. Huge shout out. Thank you so much. So it was an over-the-phone interview at a Starbucks, and so there's a little bit of background noise that might be kind of distracting, and I apologize for that, but the content is so worth just tuning out that background noise. And you know what? Just imagine you're out having coffee with us at one of our Self-Care is Sexy brunches. And enjoy. Here's Trish Blackwell.
Okay, Trish, oh my gosh, I'm such a huge fan. Thank you so very much for agreeing to be on the show, but also just for being such a positive leader. I'm so grateful for you, and it's just very obvious that you really pour your heart and soul into all your work. So thank you for being on our show.
Thank you so much, Chris. You know what I love? It's like, what? I've been in contact with you just, you know, virtually for probably 2 years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is the first, at least, right? And like, this is the first time we've gotten to talk, and it just feels so natural. It's so fun. And like, that's what I love about technology and the worlds that we get to interact in, and people who are committed to being better versions of themselves, that like, I don't know, like you get to know people in ways you otherwise wouldn't have. And that's just awesome. So I just like, you know, when I first heard your voice actually on your podcast, I'm like, it's not what I thought. I love it. I didn't know what I expected, but you do a great job with what you're doing. And I'm just proud of you and honored to be kind of on the journey with you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Let's start out today by having you just tell our listeners a little bit more about your story and your mission, and just how you became such an incredible, influential leader, like in the confidence coaching world. How did this all get started for you?
Yeah, great question. So it's funny, it got started for me because I was so insecure, but I was for years, probably until I was probably in early 20s. What was funny is the world, though, including my mom, all would have said, no, you're the most confident person we know. You know what I mean? So on the outside, I was incredibly confident. I was the all-American girl, the girl next door, the girl everybody likes, the straight-A student, the, you know, president of the student body, the person that all the social cliques like, the athlete. I mean, it was like I was this checklist of like, yep. But, the inside, like, I was like, I didn't know if I fit in. I felt I was socially awkward. I wasn't sure people actually liked me. You know, and I felt like I had to earn approval all the time. So I was this, you know, really just high-level athlete, and that put a ton of pressure on myself, too. And from athletics, you know, it was sort of like, all right, it's a competition. So really, you know, to be the best, you have to beat everybody else. There's scarcity to it. So it meant that, you know, you might not ever be good enough. Like, somebody's always going to be faster than you. And then somebody's always going to be, you know, that kind of translated to the business world. And, okay, somebody's always going to be a little bit more successful than you. How can you go and rise, you know, and beat them out? And, you know, obviously, so the byproduct of this, and something I talk a lot about in my books and then on my podcast show, is that, you know, I, behind the scenes here this whole time, for about 10 years, I had a really secretive eating disorder, and you name it, I did it. I mean, I was the pro of doing it all, like, as far as the eating disorder. But it was really, really debilitating, and I was living I was so depressed, but on the outside, I had this, you know, happy-go-lucky attitude, and I would just crumble at night. And then then I would beat myself up about not really being authentic and congruent to where I was. And if only everyone knew, everyone thinks that I'm who they want to be, but like secretly, I didn't even want to be me. So it was like, man, it's like at the end of the day, you're like, man, if people knew how messed up I was in the head, they really wouldn't even like me. So, but meanwhile, I was like, I would just beat myself up for flaws and like being into fitness and being actually even a personal trainer at the time, or high-level athlete, I was praised for, like, man, she's so disciplined, she's so into working out and taking care of herself. Well, it was actually to an extreme, so it wasn't good self-care. It was actually bad self-care because it was overdone, and it was always a punishment, and there was always restriction, and there was always, you know, life was hard, and everything about it was hard, and it was, who knew what was going to happen next. And there was just a point, Chris, that I just broke, and I was like, this can't be. What it really is going to be like, because I don't think I can maintain this the rest of my life, you know? And so for me, it was like, I had this breakthrough that made me realize, okay, something's got to change and it's got to start with my thinking. And that's how I actually got into confidence coaching.
Knowing that you had that very challenging period and you come up against sort of knowing that the authentic self is not congruent with the external projection or what other people are seeing, was there a moment where that sort of clicked for you that, hey, something's got to give. I've really got to change direction.
That moment for me was when I was, so after I graduated college, I had a degree in French and I had a minor in Spanish. And I, what are you going to do with, I didn't want to So I went to Europe. and actually, funny enough, I actually had a teaching job, but I was teaching English in the French public schools. And it turned out to be this crazy, amazing job where they paid me full time to work about 8 hours a week. And so I found myself with all this free time. What was so funny about that is you're talking to type A perceptionist who led every minute of my day from 5 a.m. to like 11 p.m. micromanaged and timed, to then finding myself having nothing to do and being paid full time for it. And in a country like France that just really values leisure and pleasure. And it was just striking difference. So I spent a lot of time in cafes and, with my dictionary trying to learn words and just look at people. I noticed a lot of the French women had this sort of like thing that I wanted. I was like, I really think that they've got this, what they like to say called, you know, joie de vivre, which is like joy of living. It's just a different mentality and speed of life that I had been used to in the United States. And I was like, that's what I want. And I remember sitting in my aha moment was when I was like, I don't know how to describe the joie de vivre, because like I was looking up to these women I considered successful, and they were fit and they were making a certain number in their paycheck, or they were, you know, whatever they fit this very specific small box. And that's what I was trying to make myself into. When I realized, I'm like, I'm actually really into and I would say attracted by, but I was attracted by all these women who lived like, they looked like they had 20 pounds less weight on their back than a lot of the American women I knew. Like, they just had this springiness to them, and I was like, that's what I want. But it was so interesting, wasn't that they were all, you know, size 2. They were size 2, they were size 12, they were size 22. They were all beautiful and confident. It doesn't have to do with weight. Maybe it is style. And I was like, no, but that girl's kind of gothic. That girl's like super high, like high Parisian society. And that girl's like in the middle. Like, they're all just as happy and confident. Like, I mean, it was still this, like, I'm like, how do they have what I don't want? And I couldn't put my finger on it. That's the point when I went, wait, okay, I think they're all confident. What are they confident about? I don't know. I need to figure that out. The really, like, magnetizing trait to me that I was like, man, I want to be like them was this confidence. And then I learned that in France that they really look at confidence as this ability to do well in your skin. And that's when I went, whoa, that's what I've got. Like, I am a good body weight. I've got this. I've got, I can check off that I'm okay in my skin, but I wasn't well in my skin. And that was the first time I went, okay, how do I become well in my skin? Maybe it's going to start with my thoughts. It's going to start with changing what I think about my skin. And that kind of started me down the journey of saying, oh, whoa, I got some real work to do.
Yeah, that's a big realization to come to. One, at such a young age. Two, mm-hmm. so far away from what I would assume is your sort of, you know, foundation, home base. And then
yeah.
to finally pinpoint it and recognize it. And here it is, this totally illusory concept of confidence.
Yeah. And it wasn't to that point that I even would have admitted and said I had struggled with confidence. I knew I had some insecurities, and I knew I had body image issues, you know, and like, but like, nobody ever wants to be like, no, I'm really insecure and I'm really struggling with confidence. And then I went, well, if I was really just honest with myself, I could have really understood what was going on, you know, on a deeper level sooner. And that's one of the reasons I've started really crafting this business of confidence coaching with people, because I'm like, I want people to find the freedom and the joy that comes on the side of learning to just embrace being yourself, you know, and knowing that who you are and who you're created to be is enough. Like, I spent 25 years trying to be somebody else or be what I thought the world wanted me to be. And it's exhausting.
Oh, it was
exhausting. And so I went like, okay, so that's the message I want to share with people. Like, gosh, we can let go of so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find you're like, oh, this is life. This is living. Like, life is beautiful. Like, it's brutal. There certainly are some challenges. Every day is not going to be amazing. But there is beauty in every day of life if we give ourselves the pressure. Like, let go of the pressure that we're putting on ourselves. Man, I was so hard on myself. So much pressure. And it's like, for what? For what?
Yeah. It is. It's exhausting. And you're absolutely right. There is a different way to live. And so... So mm-hmm. here's my question. I always ask this question of everybody that comes on the show, and it is, so here you go through a good decade of your life trapped, trying to mimic what you think confident, healthy woman should be, and then you go on this incredible adventure to teach French abroad, or English abroad in France, and you figure this out. So fast forward to now, where you're this incredibly successful author, entrepreneur, an amazing confidence coach. So how, right now, in your busy, chaotic life, you're a new mom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're still actively running and doing all kinds of crazy events. So right now in your life, we get all the way to here, what is it now that you do for self-care, or what is self-care to you at this point?
That's a great question. Self-care for me is learning to give myself grace, because my nature is being type A, and I like to say I'm a recovering perfectionist. So part of my self-care is remembering that, hey, Trish, you're 33 now. It's only been 8 years, so to speak, but you've really been on this journey of confidence and kindness. And really living out your true self and calling and getting that freedom. Okay, so if you struggle a little bit, and if you have a tendency to be, I have this pendulum, I'm kind of a naturally an all or nothing person. So if you feel like you're being hard on yourself, and here's what happens to people who are trying to, learn to love themselves and be okay with just being them today, little baby steps, it's that, okay, we're like, oh man, yeah, but now it's hard on myself. So I'm going to beat myself up for being hard on myself because I'm not supposed to be hard on myself anymore. I'm not supposed to be a perfectionist anymore. And then we get upset when we have this thought. So, for me, real self-care is the psychological grace that I give myself. And I'm like, hey, Trish, you need to chill out. You're pushing yourself. I have this compulsion to sometimes do over-exercising, right? When you think you want to run those extra 2 miles just because the number sounds better, 10 sounds better than 8, it's okay that you thought that. You're not going to do it. That's self-care to me. Because it's knowing when to stop and knowing when to be kind to myself. Or if I engage in past old thought patterns or old behavior, to go, too bad, so sad. Doesn't mean anything. Just let it go. You don't have to do that right now or from there on out. And that for me is being hard on myself or going back to perfectionistic activities or, honestly, for somebody that has struggled with body image, and a lot of people with insecurity, it's comparing myself. And so comparing myself to name it, wanting to compare yourself to the person next to you on the beach, or wanting to compare yourself to your mentor who you're like, man, I wish I was where they are because then I could do this. Regardless, no matter what comparison, you never win. Never. And so it's learning to be I know that, and I really am committed to trying to think, I want beautiful thoughts. And I realize that when I'm engaged in comparison thinking, in any capacity, no matter what, it's ugly. So if you're comparing yourself and you're building yourself up, well, it's ugly towards someone else. If you're comparing yourself and you're tearing yourself down or beating yourself up as a result, well, then you are having ugly thoughts to yourself. And so I know enough and I've studied enough about comparison to know better, right? So then when I compare, when I find my mind in the middle of a comparison, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So self-care for me is going, hey, Trish, you're still human. You're going to be comparing. It's what you do with it midway that really counts. It's challenging.
I love it. It's kind of a hard concept to get your mind around, knowing.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you've been able to at least identify when it bubbles up. And I love that you said part of your self-care is giving yourself that grace.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because I feel like we just naturally, those of us that are overachievers, like you and I both are.
Yes.
we have a compulsion to propel ourselves forward. And one of the things that I find that drives me is somebody who's trying to achieve and really give this life all that I've got to get the most out of it, is that it's that noticing of I've crossed that line. I've crossed that barrier between healthy propulsion towards the right direction and now driving myself straight into the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a tough concept, but it sounds like you've really developed a balance. So I would then ask, what are some examples of self-care that you give yourself? So we've got, you're recognizing when, that it's time to be kind to yourself, and you're recognizing to not get into that comparison mindset, and then also giving yourself grace when those old behaviors bubble up. But what are some very specific examples of how you treat yourself? How do you give yourself that grace? Do you just take the kind of a breath and go, okay, and mentally say to yourself, it's okay, I give you permission to not, be an A-plus student at whatever you're doing?
Yes. So a couple of ways. It's a great question. So sometimes it's that little moment of meditation or prayer. And sometimes I'll do a gratitude journal to myself. Sometimes I type out my prayers. It's just as a text message to God and then send it to myself. I can see it just written. It's, it makes a big difference. And sometimes it's talking out loud to myself And even sometimes it's like, hey, my husband is so balanced. He's just like amazing at self-care and he's just awesome and he balances me out. And I go, hey, you're going to be nice to yourself because later today when you tell Brandon how proud he would be of you, of you just chilling out, not you know, overachieving, like that you actually just went for a walk without an objective or music or, you know what I mean? Like you just disconnected. Like it's sometimes it's okay for me to be able to, like I will sometimes do something that's really self-care oriented. Just so at night at dinner, you'd be like, guess what I did today, honey? You'd be so proud. I get to take care of myself.
So, that's awesome, you know, that you have that motivation.
It is. And like for me, it's, I mean, I'd like to get past where I want to tell him. that's I know where I need to go. But for me also, it's like, self-care and giving myself grace when it comes to, like, I really like what you said, Chris, about being like action driven and like achievement driven. Self-care is for me knowing that knowing when to stop working. And the challenge of being an entrepreneur, especially for me, a mompreneur, everything I do works, is work. And this is where my husband calls me out on it, because I'll be like, I had this great day. And he's like, everything you did was work oriented. It was either around our daughter or around my business or around my other business or around my, you know, if I had time to write, my greatest like self-care for really my creative part of myself is just getting free writing time with no purpose, no agenda, no deadlines, no projects. Just write your heart out, right? Well, I can say, oh my gosh, I had this great writing day. And I hired the babysitter and it was so great. I had this amazing afternoon. He's like, well, what'd you write about? I'm like, oh, well, I didn't really write. I just did like 5 podcast outlines and like, I'm really excited about the topics that are coming up. And he's like, honey, that's work. That's not writing. That's not, like, yeah, but I get some of the same rejuvenation from me. He's like, no, you need to feed your soul. You need to have a non-agenda for some of this. And so for me, that's the challenge is learning to get some of that. And I have to sit and like have writing time. That's not
right.
Just write with no purpose. So that's one way I self-care. I'm not great at it. Something I'm actually trying to work on this week. Also like at night, like because of what I do, a lot of it's social media driven, which means there always needs to be time to create. Like I need to do, graphics and have these quotes and these ideas and these posts. So at night when we're relaxing, whether we're just sitting on the deck or if we're watching TV, I feel compelled to have my phone and work on little word art and quotes. And then it's like, no, Trish. You put your phone down, turn it off. You don't need to be, even if it's a creative, like, I'm like, oh, I justify, I'm like, yeah, but I like playing with photos and pictures and I like, look, it doesn't matter. It's still work. It needs to stop. I need to just disconnect completely. So that's another way I try, I'm learning to give myself grace to say, you have more connection and value in the world and in your presence and in your business when you first disconnect and charge your batteries.
It's amazing, and it sounds so simple, and yet it can be so challenging.
It sounds
because
so simple.
Well, I think that one of the conundrums is that if you love what you do, it's hard to stop doing it.
That's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been my experience since I've been interviewing people and just asking, just to get the conversation started about self-care and what's working and what's not and what are some of the barriers. A lot of people are saying the same thing, that when you're active and you're engaged in things that bring you joy, it's hard to stop and say, okay, but and really look at it and say, is this feeding me or is it just, you know, the fun thing that I like to do that I'm compelled to do?
Yeah. And is it actually distracting me from getting just, like, even, it doesn't matter how much I love it. It needs a break.
Yes, absolutely.
It needs a break, and I need to just be without objective and just be in life and be present. And we're so distracted that we've lost that. And so I'm actually tricking myself to be more interested in it by looking at it as art. That living beautifully is this art of living beautifully, and that when I really do disconnect and I focus on the simple things, so I'm like, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm like, Trish, this is higher living.
Mm-hmm.
This is intentional living, and like I get as like, hey, you like achievement? Good, you've achieved. You are in the middle of achieving something that's intangible, and that's the challenge for me. Looking after going for tangible things versus intangible, but I can always celebrate the intangible things by telling myself that, hey, tangible check mark in your mind, you are pursuing the intangible, and that is healthy and self-care oriented for you and rejuvenating, inspiring. So keep doing it, Trish. Like, I like measurable things. And so these aren't things I'm going to get that are measurable. So I'm learning to come to terms with them by trying to rethink about them in my mind.
Well, it sounds like you've got a handle on how to do it, and you're definitely next level with this kind of stuff.
I'm trying to be, girl, but I got some work to do.
Well, you know what? And I just love that, you know, you said it best. It's very simple. It's intentional living. And if you want to be the best mom and the best partner and the best entrepreneur, and if you want to achieve that, I believe the only way you can do that is, like you just said, got to refill the Trish battery first. Because if you don't, a half-assed version of yourself shows up to, you know, whatever your responsibilities are. Nobody deserves that. Your husband, your daughter, your client, everybody deserves the full awesomeness of you, of Trish.
You're right. Incredible,
contagious encouragement and positivity. And I know, as someone who's been a part of your, I love that you call it your Be More community. Amazing. You're giving your listeners and your community permission to do it for themselves. And that, my friend, that's enough achievement for one lifetime.
Awesome. You know, because I like what you said about recharging your battery, because one way I relate to, like, how I'm living now versus how I used to live was, like, the world didn't know. The world thought they were getting a full charge Trish, like 100% Trish. And because I wasn't taking care of myself and that I wasn't really working on my growth, the real growth that mattered, which was just the external growth, they were getting like 60% of me. Like, you was a 60% Trish. And like, when I struggle with self-care, I have to go back and go, Trish, you spent 10 years giving the world 60% of a 60% version of you. You owe it to them. You owe it to the people that you want to love on to give 100%, to be 100%. And that means that you've got to do this stuff that's intangible. And sorry, just sometimes it takes time. Just like actually recharging batteries. You remember this rechargeable battery fact? It's not instant. We're using it. And I have to go back and literally think about, oh, these things you have to do. You just have to charge them overnight. And they took some time.
The charging part has to kind of, like you had said before, if you ever notice, when you're charging an electronic, your iPhone won't charge as quickly if you've got apps running in the background.
So true.
It's kind of the same thing. You can't recharge yourself when you've got I'm going to take a nap, but real quick, let me do three things on my checklist.
You're exactly right. Exactly.
And you know what?
Right. Yes.
I have to tell you, Trish, we absolutely love the 100% charged Trish. She is a blast.
I prefer her, too. I definitely prefer her, too.
Well, buddy, I want to thank you so very much for being on the show. It means a lot to me. I do want to give you an opportunity to tell me a little bit about some of your passion projects that you might be working on right now. And of course, ways that our listeners can get connected to you, because you're such an incredible resource.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. So my number one passion project right now is my newest book that got released this past April, and it's called Insecurity Detox. And, you know, you can buy it anywhere books are sold, or you can just check out my website, which is insecuritydetox.com. And basically it's a book that has 30 different chapters, and you don't have to read it cover to cover. It's just like a handbook, and you pick it up and you read it chapter by chapter as you need. So if you want to detox perfectionism, there's a chapter for that. And there's a mental, physical, and spiritual detox in there. And so I pour my heart and soul into that book. Over the past 2 years, I'm really, really proud with how it turned out. And I know already it's helping a lot of people. Just, you know, it's identifying, what is it that I'm really insecure about? What is it that's holding me back? And how do I start detoxing that out of my life? Like, that's good self-care. I have a great resource for people to get started that's called the Roadmap to Confidence. And if you get it completely free, it's at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And so that's trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And it's just a great one-page resource on how to, like, set your week up for success. Of, like, how do I have a confident week? Like, because confidence is self-care. And I really do believe that confidence is a choice. I think it's also something that we all have. It's part of who we are. When you are yourself, you can live free and confidently. And so it's a choice that we all make to go back to who we were really created to be. And sometimes people are like, well, it must be easy to be confident when you can fill in the blank. But it's available to us all. And so this kind of helps you realize that this is a choice. It's a lifestyle, it's a mindset, and it's a way that you can just be intentional in your thinking, and then therefore it starts translating into your living. So I'm a big fan of the more tools, the better. You know, some things are going to work well for some people and some are going to work for others. So I try to provide my community with as much as I can to inspire them and motivate them to just see that, like you said, be more of who they can be.
I love it. And, of course, we will definitely have links to all of this great resources. I love the book. I've been going through it kind of chapter at a time. I've been going slowly through it just to make sure that I'm really getting I'm kind of stripping away any challenges and really digesting it. And I've been really seeing a huge difference. So thank you. This book is amazing. You guys have got to check it out. It's a wonderful workbook. Insecurity Detox. We'll have links to it. Trish, thank you so much again. I know you're so busy with everything you've got going on. And I really appreciate your authentic willingness to share your story and help others in our community. You're the best. So be you, girl. You're awesome.
My pleasure, girl. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys, there it is. My interview with Trish Blackwell. So incredible. Her new book, Insecurity Detox, can be found anywhere books are sold. Go out there and get this workbook. It's full of tools and resources that are going to change your life. If you're looking for a way to get consistent with that intentional living and loving yourself, this book is what you're looking for. And you can connect with her on Facebook, Twitter, her website, all that stuff. You can find her by going to my website. And you'll also want to check out her free roadmap to self-confidence. It's an amazing tool. Next week, we'll be talking about adult coloring as a method of self-care. Super fun. Can't wait to get into that. We got some fun samples from other members of our Self-Care is Sexy community to share, as well, of course, as other self-care ideas. It's going to be a blast, so stay tuned. That's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for taking the time out and joining me. Remember, if you have a story that you'd like to share and want to be on the show, send me an email. It's chris@selfcareissexy.com. Okay, you guys, you got some really great content coming your way, so stay tuned. And remember, self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.